makes us think.
So mystery
hearts. Music is my sanctuary. Music is my life. Music is my sanctuary. Music is my life. It makes you smile.
It's optimistic. To come.
It can make you sad.
So miracle.
Music is my sanctuary. Music is my life. Music is my sanctuary. Music is my life. Music makes you dance.
It's a rhythmical.
Put you in a trance.
Hypnotical.
Music is my sanctuary. Music is my life. Music is my sanctuary. Music is my life. 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 Music is my life.
My cool school selection today, honouring great and classic jazz. Gary Bartz on the alto saxophone and Music is My Sanctuary. Before that, Bobby Hutcherson and Herbie Hancock's Maiden Voyage, and Herbie featured on there as well from a classic Blue Note album called Happenings. Well, Gary Bartz, Music is My Sanctuary, that was produced by Larry Mizell and brother Fonce Mizell. A classic piece and very cherished amongst younger generations of jazz lovers because it transcends generations. It fits into all sorts of modes, including hip-hop and club music that we love so much. And we'll get to talk more about that and other associated acts. And I'm very, very happy to welcome Larry Mizell to Jazz FM. Larry, it's a wonderful thing to have you here, sir. Welcome.
Thank you, Chris. Glad to be here.
Very lovely to have you. And you're here for a very special reason. You have a long music association with the great Donald Byrd. And there's a celebration of his music at London's Barbican on Friday. And you're taking part in that. So it's wonderful to have that invitation, I guess, to come and relive a little bit of history. Right,
right. Right. Yeah, it's when I first talked to Keith Kilgore with the Blackbirds about the event, it was a great homecoming to get back. I hadn't seen the guys in decades, and to be on stage playing the music was a very inviting proposition.
Yeah. And they're taking part, of course, the legendary Blackbirds, yourself, and also Donald Byrd's son, Donald Byrd III. Right,
right, the third.
And you must know him from when he was a little and a child, because you worked with Donald Byrd in the 1970s on some great material. Do you remember his son back then?
Actually, this is the first time that I have met him.
Okay.
He was on in New York, and all of our work was on the West Coast.
Yeah.
And we knew about him, but he contacted me perhaps a year ago, and we touched bases, and we've been talking about doing some things, and I was, in fact, filling him in on some stories about his dad, and he as well.
Yeah, I'm sure you've got some great stories about Donald with producing, how many was it, five or six classic albums?
Five
albums for Blue Note
plus
Records.
Plus the Blackbirds.
And the Blackbirds, yeah, and countless other people. We'll get to talking more about this, but it's as I say, it's amazing to have Larry Mizell. Last time we spoke actually was in London, and you had your brother Fonce with you, and Fonce, we lost Fonce very recently, a few years back. Condolences on that.
Actually, thank you so much.
Two of you guys were, well, obviously your brothers, but musically you were a unit, and you created a signature sound between you, didn't you? And you must be very proud of looking back, because we can always tell when it's that Mizell sound, right? There was a lovely sort of airy, soulful feel to it, as well as those driving, funky bass lines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, purpose to do that, but we like to we had a small setup with in a Hollywood house with drums and bass, some Rhythm King machines and keyboards, and we would just turn the tape recorder on and start playing and review the next day, see if there were any magic moments.
Yeah. And that, we just played Music Is My Sanctuary by Gary Bartz. What do you remember about those sessions? Because there's a guy who, he was a bright kind of post-bebop alto horn player, and you put the soul onto his music there, big time. What do you remember about making that legendary album?
It was actually the second album that we'd done with Gary. We did The Shadow Do when he was at Fantasy. And we saw Gary in Switzerland at the Montreux Jazz Festival. I think it was 74. And we just dug him. He had a youth attitude in all of his guys, strong players. We just connected. And so we talked with Orrin Keepnews and with Gary, and got together on the first album. And at the time, Gary was just finishing up Cinderella, and which really is one of my favorite albums. And Gary really is a creative soul within himself. And so I mixed that. We had signed the production deal with Fantasy and drove up to Berkeley to mix that album. And then we got on with the Shadow Do album. And after that, I think Gary's contract was up, and I still felt there was more to do. So I shopped him and took him to my friend Larkin Arnold at Capitol, and he bit. And then Music Is My Sanctuary was born.
And it's that kind of music that gets thrown on at parties when, you know, there needs a little life in the party, and yet it's so mellow and so beautiful. Are you surprised by the enduring quality of your music, how people cherish it so much?
I feel blessed every day to see it continue on. We had, in the last 10 years, had done a lot of traveling with the Red Bull organization, the Red Bull Music Academy. And they had talented kids from all over the world flown in. The first one was in Melbourne. And after we finished giving a historical talk of our history to the guys, it was almost a two-hour talk, the kids came up with the vinyl of our old albums. And they were at least two generations after.
Yeah.
And so it was very satisfying, for sure.
Let's play some more music in just a moment here on Jazz FM. My guest is Larry Mizell of Sky High Productions, the legendary Mizell Brothers. He's in town for a Donald Byrd tribute at the Barbican in London this Friday. We'll get to play some classic and very much Jazz FM favourite Donald Byrd next.
The Jazz FM election swing.
Falling Like Dominoes from his album called Places and Spaces. And the producer of that, co-producer, is Larry Mizell, who joins me here at Jazz FM this afternoon, this morning into the afternoon. We're going to continue after 12 o'clock. But just to put a little context on this, Larry, 26 years ago, I think, I put together a best of album of Donald Byrd for Blue Note Records. And my approach to it was, well, how do you put a best of together for an artist that goes from, you know, bebop right the way through to disco, basically? And then I thought, well, I'm just going to deal with the Mizell Brothers era, because to me and fellow DJs like myself who love this music, who also access hip-hop and club culture, we just loved that sound that you had, that you and Fonce had. And then out of the blue one day arrives a piece of faded music score from that very album signed by Larry Mizell. You'd obviously found a copy of the album somewhere and were quite taken back by the fact that, we'd done this. And I think part of my sleeve notes were all about anonymity, about the fact that no one had heard what you guys are up to for so long, and maybe you're out there driving a bus or something, but lo and behold, you were just chilling in Altadena near Los Angeles and enjoying life and just jamming and making music. You liked that anonymity, though, didn't you, when you were producers? You kind of liked to just, you know, make music and not take the spotlight, right?
Oh, for sure, for sure. That was our preference. And we enjoyed our strength was in writing songs as opposed to performing. We had done it as kids coming up, different groups, bands, and but we found that we enjoyed writing, and we actually. The importance of it became reared its head as we got older. But we have a great uncle who was married to my grandmother's sister, who was a very famous writer from the 1930s, Andy Razoff, who was Fats Waller's writing partner and had written close to 800 songs, recorded by everybody from Frank Sinatra to Judy Garland, Sidney Bechet, Fletcher Henderson.
No wonder you like the idea of songwriting.
We were influenced by my grandmother saying, you know, your Uncle Andy's still getting checks. And we couldn't connect the process at that. But that's not what drove us into the business, but it just subliminally was part of our psyche.
Yeah.
But we enjoyed songwriting and that part of it. To the extent that production enabled us to put our songs out.
I want to talk more about the spirit and the kind of approach to life of Donald Byrd while you knew him and what you know of him in the next segment of our chat here. But Places and Spaces is a really interesting story about the cover photos on there, isn't it? Because it's got a montage of aeroplanes flying over the desert somewhere. And there's a lovely story behind that one, right?
Yeah, that was... The planes are actually the two planes that Byrd and Fonce and I and a few other people flew two private planes from Los Angeles to Vegas. And we were shooting pictures from plane to plane. And the whole concept evolved from there's a chance meeting. Fonce and I were rehearsing at the Hollywood studio up in the hills. Byrd drives up and says, hey guys, what do you think about the concept of the next album? We said, oh, we've been kicking around some ideas. And he said, well, let's go to Vegas. Let's go rent a plane and fly straight over to San Gabriel's into Vegas and play some tennis and talk it over. He said, don't pack any bags. We said, cool. Got in the car, drove out to Santa Monica Airport, took off, flew straight over. We got to Vegas much faster than a commercial flight, maybe 35 minutes, and went to the gift shop and bought some tennis outfits and borrowed some rackets and spent 2 or 3 days just having fun, laughing, a little bit of gambling, eating and drinking. And
Am I right in thinking that Donald Byrd was actually flying one of those planes himself?
Yeah, he had his pilot's license.
Yeah.
And he was able to get some hours in as well.
Yeah.
And so we had another pilot on the other plane. And And little did we know, the concept came up as a result of the trip. And the pictures just fit.
Beautiful. Well, we're going to talk more about that. We're going to take the news here on Jazz FM. I'm talking to Larry Mizell of Sky High Productions, the legendary Mizell brothers, and we'll play some more Donald Byrd and a bit of Bobby Humphrey too. Larry's here in town to celebrate Donald Byrd. We'll just get the news and travel though next.
Don't ignore the... It's the law to have a work... Don't ignore the workplace pension. Get to...
Donald Byrd, Think Twice on Jazz FM. Gregory Porter before that, and Liquid Spirit. I'm Chris Phillips, here with you till 2 o'clock. We've got The Collection coming up at 1, 40 minutes of great music back-to-back, uninterrupted. And in the studio with me right now is Larry Mizell, producer, musician, on half of the legendary Mizell Brothers, who's in London to celebrate the music of Donald Byrd. And we'll be on stage along with Donald Byrd's son and various other musicians, including the Blackbirds as well. That's this Friday at the Barbican in London. Is this your debut as a performer in the UK, Larry, when we see you on stage on Friday?
I was surprised to see that title by my name as many times as I've been to London. But yeah, as far as public performance, yeah.
So you've not actually been on stage and performed as Larry Mizell or part of any other aggregation. You've been to Europe, of course, before in the 70s with Donald Byrd.
Right, the Montreux.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, just visiting and hanging out.
And so you don't know the joy of the Barbican, a lovely venue for philharmonic music and great acoustic music. It's going to be something. What are you adding to the show, and how will you be celebrating Donald Byrd on Friday?
My approach to keyboards, basically, and like I said, I had to go through all of the charts again, bring them up and see what I actually played. And I didn't play on all of them. I had my session players doing them. Some of them, Places and Spaces, I did play the acoustic piano all through that. But I'll be part of the keyboard unit, and it'll be... interesting. I actually have not rehearsed with the band yet.
Yeah.
We're doing that tomorrow.
Okay.
So I've been rehearsing with the original tracks.
But you've got the scores. That's fantastic.
I've got the scores.
Still got them in the faded paper.
Faded. And,
I've got one, by the way, in case you need Places and Spaces. That's the one you sent me.
Oh, that's good to know.
Still got that one on the wall. We'll have to take it out of the frame that it's in. Larry Mizell, producer of so much great music for Donald Byrd, Bobby Humphrey. I played A Taste of Honey earlier on the show. That's another group you got involved with. Johnny Hammond, Rance Allen Group, Gary Bartz. So many great, great records, and celebrating Donald Byrd on Friday. Now, I want to talk to you, because it began in New York City for you and Fonz, and you went off to Los Angeles, or just outside LA. You were in the West Coast, basically, as we mentioned earlier, kicking back. But actually, music wasn't really your first career, was it? You had a sort of proper job, as they like to say over here. And a really interesting background, because both you and your brother Fonz, although great producers and musicians, kind of the idea was to get you a professional career, and you went into engineering.
Yes, I did. And it was a natural extension of my interests all through growing up. I was a ham radio operator as a kid, wiring up stuff on the chimney, and pops yelling at me for hanging antennas off the roof. But I was into gadgets, but at the same time, music as well. My grandmother, who lived in the duplex next door, had a spinet piano, and we gravitated toward it and played, tinkled out melodies, and it was a combination.
But what is super cool is you actually worked on space program. Apollo 13, was it?
Yes, Apollo 11.
Apollo 11.
And I got out just before 13, but I say got out, I left without knowing what was going to happen then, obviously. But and that was an amazing time as well for the world, and just to be associated with something that was put into motion by Kennedy, who put the heat on the engineers by saying we can put a man on the moon by the end of the decade.
Mm.
And suddenly NASA and everybody was like, "We with so much love for JFK, let's make this happen." And so the moon landing was by the end of the decade, within 3 months. 3 months, it was 4 months, July 69. So,
did you ever nick some parts out of the drawer for your synthesizers? Literally cosmic music being made. Day job working with NASA, and in the evenings making music with Fonz, but soldering bits of NASA parts together. Cosmic music. Is that how it went down? I like to think it did.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Yeah. And your calling to music, I mean, to get involved again and form Sky High, as a production unit and to come away from engineering. How did that come about?
Fonz and I had been talking. You probably know the story that we did form a record company in college.
Yeah.
As juniors. And
you were at Howard together, weren't you?
Yes.
Which is the mecca for black academia.
Right? Yes.
And in the midst of the civil rights?
In the midst of the civil rights, the voter registration in the South, some students would basically risk their lives to register voters in between semesters and come back to campus. So it was a very vibrant time to be coming up.
Energy in the music. Did it lend itself to the music big time, I guess, right?
Yes.
All of that. Well, I want to play a piece of music that really sort of set you and Fonz on a trajectory, particularly Fonz, of course. And I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to play it, if that's all right. And this is it. There it is, the Jacksons, I Want You Back. You'd have to go a long, long way to find someone that doesn't know that record. And Fonz Maisel, late brother of Larry Maisel, who joins me in the studio, was an integral part of that record becoming such a big hit. The Corporation, they were called, right, Larry, back in the day?
That's right.
Homeboys from New York City and relocated in L.A. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, I think Berry Gordy of Motown kind of credits that record with being the facilitator of being able to move Motown from East Coast to West, right?
Yes,
that's how successful that was. It got the Jacksons there, elevated them to, like, megastardom.
Right, right. That was the anchor, and Berry had actually made that statement that you guys have made this move a foundation here with this record.
Yeah, what an amazing hit. Everyone, and still I was turning to one of the very young people in the audience in the studio here, and they all know that record, of course, mm-hmm. I Want You Back by the Jacksons. And we are going to have a celebration of the Jacksons at the Love Supreme Festival, the 50th anniversary Jacksons commemoration, if you like, obviously without Michael, but that's happening on the first weekend in July, lovesupremefestival.com. If you're ever in... in the UK for that festival, Larry. Come along. I think you'll enjoy it big time.
Sure will.
There are some great pictures of the Jacksons playing b-ball out the back of your studios, I think, because you did work with them. Did you get to work with them yourself? My memory fades.
With the group as a whole, and yeah. Michael is a solo artist as well.
And you also work with... I was going to bring this conversation to a close because I'm aware that there's time's running up, but you also work with Marvin Gaye, in between legendary albums. You got in the studio with Marvin.
Yes, yes.
What was the period of time, and what did you work on there?
The period of time was really the follow-up, the sophomore effort for Marvin after What's Going On. And we recorded three tunes, he only overdubbed vocals on two. One was Where Are We Going, and the other was Woman of the World. They eventually got shelved, and Marvin went on to do the soundtrack for Trouble Man. And we ended up cutting those first two tunes on Bird. That's why it says Jobet Publishing on those albums. But in 2000, as Universal took over Motown and all of its catalog, they re-released one of them, and it was a part of a compilation, and it went gold 40 years later.
Yeah, it's mad to think they went down in the archives and found that great music and put it out. Like, best of CDs always include a little extra, don't they, in there? And,
right, they do.
And I think it was Where Are We Going was a cut that you did, and
yes,
Donald Byrd did that when Marvin had it shelved, which is great. So seek all this music out. I mean, Larry's been behind so much great, great music, and a real pleasure, Larry, to have you back in London. And I know that Mrs. Mizell considers this a second home, and rightly so. Staying at your favourite spot, and see Larry Mizell along with the Blackbirds and others. The names escape me. I know definitely Donald Byrd III is going to be there as well. It's at the Barbican on a Friday, and a great celebration of Donald Byrd's music using those scores. So, you know, the ones that brought us that magic music. Larry Mizell, what an honour. Thank you, sir, for coming by.
Thank you for having me.
And enjoy your stay in London.
We shall. We are.